I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
Welcome to EcoTalk, where we offer sound solutions for a healthier planet. And in today's show, we'll be looking at both the political and practical when it comes to energy-saving solutions. In our first segment, we'll be speaking with a congresswoman from Southern California who says the Gas Act of 2005, which addresses the building of oil refineries, is bad legislation that harms consumers while helping big oil reap more big profits. In our second segment, we'll go to Washington, D.C., where a solar decathlon is underway near the National Mall. College students from around the country have built model homes to teach the public and legislators about the benefits of sun power. In our second half hour, we'll meet the visionaries behind two groundbreaking green building projects, the nation's first all-solar housing development in the country, and the first senior living center running on rays. And last, we'll learn how we can change the world by changing our light bulbs, or at least make it a little less polluted, this planet of ours. But first, we'd like to thank our sponsor, and that is the Natural Resources Defense Council, the nation's leading environmental action organization. The NRDC uses law, science, and the support of more than 1.2 million members and online activists to protect our planet's wildlife and wild places and to ensure a safe, healthy environment for all living things. I want to welcome Congresswoman Hilda Solis from Southern California, because she was active in trying to get an alternative to that gas act that went down to, just barely passed. It was about to go down to defeat with some strong-arm tactics by Dennis Hastert and Tom DeLay. DeLay managing to delay that vote by about 45 minutes, and that was critical in getting two more Republicans to vote for it. This, of course, is the bill that would ease restrictions on refinery building, and Congresswoman Solis tried to introduce an alternative that was voted down on party lines, and we want to check in with her and see what she was trying to do, what's wrong with what was passed, and what happens next. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Well, what's wrong with the second version of the energy bill is that many of the very egregious items that were taken out of the first energy bill were now put into this second piggyback bill. And the problem that we have here, I think, is that even Republicans have issues with respect to where the siting of refineries are. And what's really egregious about the bill is that it really strips local control. So no county government, no state government, even our AGs, our attorney generals, wouldn't have the ability to come in and put up a defense to say, wait a minute, the siting of this refinery here should not take place because X, Y, and Z. It would have an adverse effect on the community, environmental issues, or health issues. It strips local control, which flies in the face, I think, of what this Republican Party initially tried to propose and represent to the public many years ago. So that's the bad part. I also think that it was also used as a message piece for members when they went home to their districts this week, because they know very well that the Senate will probably not even bring the bill up. It won't pass.
Because?
Because there are many egregious items in there that provide immunity to refiners that come out and for example, are taken to court on behalf of, say, a small community because they don't want to see a refinery opened or placed in their community. The immunity part shields the refiner who really doesn't need this, and puts the blame back on the local government. They will have to pay for attorney fees. So it's something very negatively concocted that would have an adverse effect on our cities, our counties, and would prevent people from really having more transparency in where these sidings of refineries are placed. In fact, what we know is that there really isn't a need to have more refineries. They've consolidated refineries in the last few years. There are many that are docile. There are about 30 that are not even open right now. So we don't have to recreate new refineries. Why don't the oil companies just go back and reopen and meet standards so that we can provide the appropriate supply that's needed? That's not what this bill does. It says that now they can drill wherever they want, out in the coast and in places that would adversely affect communities like mine, where we have already three Superfund sites, contaminated water, and high levels of pollution.
You represent East L.A., San Gabriel Valley, where there's a lot of low-income constituents.
Absolutely, and where we know many of these types of projects will have a very negative health effect on our constituents. And I wasn't alone in this argument. We also tried to put teeth into providing for the Federal Trade Commission to come in and prevent gouging by upping the penalties against these gougers, who are the big corporations. The Republican version of the bill only goes after the small person, the mom-and-pop gasoline station and the smaller franchises, as opposed to the big corporations, who are the ones who are making the multi-million dollar profits.
Take us back to the room last Friday, a week ago Friday, when there was this attempt, and ultimately successful attempt, to really strong-arm more votes for passage of this.
Well, it's ridiculous that you're in a setting where you know you have a five-minute vote on a bill, and it is purposely prolonged to 45 minutes because there weren't enough Republicans that were in support of this very bad Republican bill. There are some Republican moderates that were totally against it, and many of them, to their credit, did stay off, but they needed enough to win this battle. So what the Speaker did at the time was kind of put this on hold and allow for more arm-twisting to occur on the floor of the House. Only this was done in the middle of the day for the whole public to see, and what they ended up doing was just getting two Republicans to switch over. So the vote was very, very close, and I think that's going to help us when this is attempted to be brought over to the Senate. The senators will probably say, this isn't going anywhere. And again, I have to say that I think it was just a message piece for Republican members to be able to go home and say, you know what, we're doing something to lower your gas, gasoline and your energy bills.
Obviously, this type of thing is legal. How unethical is it to prolong a vote like this? How often do you see this?
I think it's totally unethical, totally uncalled for. And these are the kind of shenanigans that the Republican Party have been doing for the last few years. And Tom DeLay, while he's been now indicted and looking out for things that he's doing, was there on the floor also strong-arming members. So was Speaker Hassert, and so was Mr. Roy Blunt, who is now the so-called replacement for Mr. DeLay.
And Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi was widely quoted as saying this, you know, just continues the culture of corruption, this kind of activity.
And in the long run, the people who are going to suffer the most are our constituents and our consumers, because nothing in this bill will lower the price of gasoline, natural gas, or electricity in the next 6 months when we really need it, when the East Coast and when the Southwest really need to have more energy consumption will be up because of the weather changes.
And obviously you are angry about this attempt to fast-track authority for permitting refineries in the face of an emergency. It's sort of taking advantage of Katrina and Rita, just like we saw, a need for, quote, need for homeland security right after 9/11 and the ensuing abuse of individual rights
and I think
others.
It's really a disgrace that they're using the hurricanes and the fact that there were several refineries that went down. It doesn't mean they're incapacitated. It just means that they're off for right now. It doesn't mean that they can't go back and actually reopen some docile 30 refineries that have been shut down over the last few years. In fact, the permitting process, it can be expedited very easily, and they're trying to use environmental regulations as a way of saying, oh, that's been the hammer why we haven't been able to open up more refineries, and that's not the case at all. And in fact, the producers of these refineries, the owners of these refineries, have made anywhere from 200 to 300% profit. So why are we not going after them? And I have to ask the Republican members, why is it they're allowing them to get away with gouging their consumers as well?
And I'd have to ask, with record high profits we keep hearing about from Exxon and all the other big oil companies right now, why can't they take some of those profits and put it into better technology and enforcing regulations rather than spending the money to fight them?
And not just that, but we really have to have a discussion on lowering, our fuel usage with our automobiles. I mean, we know here in Southern California, we do not have a large public transportation system like they do in New York. So we need to look at trying to lower, so we get more mileage from our vehicles and that we give incentives for our car manufacturers to be able to do that. I don't think we've done enough there, and I think we really need to take a serious look at that. And I think because of global warming and all the effects that you're seeing across the globe, that people are starting to realize, maybe this president wasn't right about his assessment that there is no such thing as global warming. And I think we really ought to put our energy and focus in on that, because we have a position in the world to be leaders, and we have since, in the last 5 years, I think, really downgraded our role in the world.
Don't be fueled, as we say. Tell us what listeners might do to make sure that their senators know that this is bad legislation.
Well, I believe that here in California, our two senators will more than likely be opposed to seeing this bill come before their members in the Senate. I would urge them to contact their senators as well as their Congress members, because one of the things that's very important here, next year we have some very serious elections going on, and I think it would behoove the public to get on board and understand what it is that's happening, that we do not have an equal voice. You have one party running the White House, the Senate, and the Congress, and they are not beholden to the consumers or the communities. They are beholden to big special interests, and those are the big corporations. And we need to turn that around, and they need to contact them through email, through faxes, telephone calls, to tell them they're not for this second piggyback bill, that it actually does nothing to lower the price of gasoline.
And just makes the oil companies look more piggish as they reap in more profits.
Right. As Congressman Dingell said, it's a pig with lipstick. You still can't change it.
And as Representative Henry Waxman was quoted last Friday as saying, because of the strong arm tactics, doesn't this make the House a banana republic? I bet you'd agree with that quote.
I would tend to believe that. I mean, I would go even farther and just say that there really is no democracy, that there is no
we're out of time.
Ability for us.
Thank you. We'll be right back. You're listening to Eco Talk on Air America Radio. Stay with us.
Take, how much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer can she live? As we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see.